Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. 2 great hours for you today. What we often get wrong about confession, what we often get wrong about the Mass. We're going to do both of those today. First hour, I'm just delighted to, it's always exciting to have somebody on who's related to a great filmmaker. So that is where, that's what I used to just introduce him as Dr. Italy, Marcellino D'Ambrosio, great author and teacher and speaker and the founder of the Crossroads Initiative, the guy who made just wonderful books, including Jesus, A Guide to the Mysteries of the Faith. But that one also had magnificent video shot in the Holy Land, all this stuff. But now he's just the father of a great filmmaker. That's all he is.
That's all I am.
Marcellino D'Ambrosio, welcome. It's good to have you here.
It is a pleasure to be here. Yeah. Under any circumstances, as the son of a great filmmaker, as
yeah, whatever.
As friend of Cy Kellett.
Okay.
I have a lot of claims to fame, really.
You do, really, but I don't want to, because people will go, what is he talking about? Because so many people have seen the film. It came out about this time last year, maybe a little later than this time last year. And maybe it was August of last year.
No, you're right.
It was a little
10 days from now.
10 days from now.
September 12th, it was released on that date for a very special reason. It is the anniversary of a great Polish victory that helped save the West from the Ottoman Turks.
Oh, yeah.
Lifting of the siege of Vienna. And in gratitude for Our Lady's intercession in helping that to happen, it's the Feast of the Holy Name of Mary. Aye. So it was the feast day, the great day to release the movie of a great Polish saint.
Right. And if anybody doesn't know, if you'll remember, because I know so many people, I've heard so many people talk about it. It was the beautiful movie that came out last year about Maximilian Kolbe. And it had, I don't want to mess it up, but an image of heaven that I will never forget in it. It was just one beautiful, beautiful image. Kolbe died in Auschwitz, and it was your son did a beautiful job on that. It was a lovely.
Thank
piece
you.
Of work.
We just got back from Auschwitz. We were there, leading a pilgrimage. We led a pilgrimage to Auschwitz for Kolbe's feast day. In Auschwitz, it all of a sudden becomes, on the morning of August 14th, it's a Catholic camp, and there's 1,000 Poles who've processed in with banners and icons, and the cardinal, former cardinal archbishop of Warsaw, says mass right outside Kolbe's cell in the open air in the cell block in the area where the guys would line up for roll call, where the horrible thing happened, where 10 men were sentenced to death randomly and Kolbe volunteered to take the place of one of them. So right there we have this triumphant mass, the triumph of the heart over the Nazis,
yes,
attempt to win by willpower, by asserting their will. The great Nazi song was Triumph of the Will, so Triumph of the Heart.
And Leni Riefenstahl's movie. The Triumph of the Will was that was the Leni Riefenstahl's Nazi movie. And
it was exactly.
Yeah, and Triumph of the Heart, an antidote, the antidote of the love of Jesus Christ given to us in the Eucharist, and given us in the saints like Maximilian Kolbe. So if you haven't seen it, go to triumphoftheheart.com. We're going to get the confession. I didn't mean to sidetrack. You're important to us too. Marcellino, you're important to us too. I don't want you to feel that you're not.
No, you have to understand something. One of the things that's so really amazing about the movie Triumph of the Heart is we see some really powerful moments of repentance of sin, of confession, of forgiveness, and in the midst of the horror of that cell. So it fits right into our show today, talking about the power of healing that is contained in mercy and in forgiveness and in the sacramental absolution that comes along with this wonderful gift, the sacrament of penance.
I tell you what, as we go along, we'll come back and we'll talk more about Triumph of the Heart. I do want people to know how they can help get it to folks, to groups, to recovery groups, to seminaries, to folks who are in prison. A wide dissemination of this book it would be very helpful. But let's talk about confession. Let's start with what do we get wrong about confession? What do we miss about confession?
Well, the main thing that most people miss, Catholic and not Catholic alike, is, as I just noted, it's actually not so much a hoop to jump through. It's not some legal requirement that puts some human authority between us and God. No, it's actually a gift. It's a channel of God's mercy. A sacrament is really a visible sign, a visible encounter, a visible moment that it conveys an invisible grace. And that grace comes to transform and to heal and to change us. And the sacrament of penance really is a sacrament of healing. And that's the way it's always been understood. That's the way it's portrayed. It's organized that way in the catechism. So it actually should be something that we run to, not something that we run from in fear, because who doesn't want healing? Who doesn't want change? Who doesn't want transformation? Who doesn't want liberation from the stuff that weighs us down, that gets us all bottled up, that keeps us from being the best self that we're called to be, being in union with God? I mean, that's really what this is all about. It's about getting rid of weights and chains and burdens and wounds. That's what the sacrament of penance is about.
Yeah, and you can see it in the life of the person who says, I've started going back to confession. So often when we see that, that's a, you know, there's all these stages in our personal conversions and how we walk closer and closer to be closer to Jesus. But when a person gets to that point of, I've started going back to confession, there's a liberation there that comes from that. There seems to be a spiritual freedom and maturity that comes with that return to the sacrament of confession.
Amen. I think that's really, those are good words, freedom and maturity. It really, repentance is something that we do in baptism, and a lot of us are baptized when we're infants. So it's done on our behalf. It's a great sacrament of repentance, of conversion, of dying with Christ, rising with Christ. But obviously, we don't wear our baptismal garment well as we get older. Right. You know, we gotta soil it, and we make decisions that are a step away from Christ. Sometimes they're really big steps away, sometimes a little steps. But in any event, repentance is a lifelong process of saying yes in deeper and deeper way every day and letting go of the things that get in the way of that relationship with Christ. So really, the sacrament of penance is a sacrament of ongoing conversion, a perpetual conversion, of deepening union with Jesus. That's really what it's about.
888-318-7884 is the number. If you have questions about confession, maybe I'll be honest with you, sometimes we get the question about why do I have to confess to a priest? It's perfectly fine if you want to bring the more doctrinal or apologetics level questions, or maybe you have particular questions about confession in your own circumstance. Whatever it is, we want to talk about confession this hour. Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio, you couldn't get a better guy to do it. A fantastic theologian and teacher, and himself taught by one of the greatest theologians of the 20th century, Cardinal Avery Dulles. So you're welcome to call 888-318-7884.
We're here for you. Call now. Catholic Answers Live.
Support for Catholic Answers Live comes from Catholic Chemistry, a dating app for Catholics. Founded by a longtime member of the Catholic Answers team, CatholicChemistry.com.
The EWTN radio listener comment line is open right now for you. If you've got a question or comment about what you hear on EWTN radio, we'd love to hear it. Call 205-795-5773. We'd also like to know how our programming has impacted your life or the life of someone you know. That number again, 205-795-5773. And thank you for listening to EWTN radio.
back. Catholic Answers Live. Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio, our guest. Dr. Italy to many people. And Marcellino, honestly, one of the things I love about when you come on here is that the breadth of knowledge is extremely helpful, but I never feel like you surrender joy in the way you deal with these things. And it seems like when you're talking about the sacrament of confession, you actually have a kind of joy about the sacrament of confession. Like you... You, most people feel miserable about it.
Yeah, right. No! You know, laying down burdens, man. Laying down burdens, that's an awesome thing. Getting God's help. I mean, all of us have this experience of falling and being sorry for it and then falling again. And we feel like we don't have the power to change our behavior. All right, well, I just want to say that that's why people should go to confession. Can you confess your sins directly to God? Well, you should, of course. You should repent of sin directly to God every time you have the opportunity. By the way, you should also repent if you hurt somebody. Most of the time, you should say you're sorry. Yeah. And that's not something oftentimes that gets through clearly enough in the way we train our kids and the way we're trained, but it's really scriptural. So we need to give forgiveness to others. We need to ask forgiveness of others. And we need to ask forgiveness directly to God in the course of ordinary life. In fact, at the end of each day, it's a classic Catholic practice to do a short examination of conscience and just check in with the Lord and look over the day and say, hey, you know, where have I messed up? Lord, forgive me. Okay, so that is something we ought to do. The sacrament of penance is a sacramental encounter with Christ who pours his spirit out through this encounter with a priest who stands in the person of Christ. And that the spirit comes to help us change. The spirit comes to help us heal. The spirit comes. So that's why I'm excited about the sacrament of penance, because in my own life, I have experienced, as many of you maybe have, sin that's bondage, sin that gets in the way that I can't change. And when the Spirit comes and moves in us and gives us a nudge forward and gives us an infusion, you know, and sometimes we feel that. I have like several moments in my life where that's really happened inside and outside the sacrament of penance. There's other times where I don't really feel it. I go to the sacrament of penance and I don't necessarily feel it. I believe that God is infusing new grace into me. I just want to say that's what it's about. It's really about encountering God's grace, and that's why I'm excited about it.
Again, 888-318-7884, the number, just two lines still open, so off we go to the phones. Let's go to Oklahoma, where Joshua is on the line. Joshua, welcome. Go ahead with your confession question for Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio.
Good afternoon, and thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So, I guess my question boils down to confessing the same sins ad nauseum almost. I fell away from the church. I've come back after 10 years of being gone. And of course, being away from the church, getting seduced by the world, you know, I fell into some sins, well, a lot of sins, but also like really forming attachments to some of these sins, you know, especially sins of the flesh. Yeah. And I don't know, there's a part of me that, you know, as I'm trying to prepare for confession, that, you know, I just, you know, you've sinned too much. You've done this one sin so often that, like, are you really sorry for it kind of thing?
Yeah.
And then, like, afterwards, you know, even if I do go to confession, because like a lot of times I'll just like, well, God just doesn't want to hear this anymore.
Oh.
You know, he's done with it. He's tired of it. But then if I do go to confession and I get the penance, I'm like, this is it. You know, I'm like, where's the other shoe coming down?
Joshua, let me let Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio respond and then we'll see what you think.
Okay. Thanks, Cy. And thanks, Joshua, for being so open and honest. I just want to say that number one, you're always free to undertake more penance. And the point of penance, and we do this in Lent. Lent is voluntary entering into a season of penance where you take a penance upon yourself. And so the point is, penance is supposed to be healing. And it's supposed to be transformative. It's supposed to help you break those attachments to sin. Sometimes priests are very creative in giving penances, and other times not. You can always add to that penance something that can help break the pattern of sin in your life. Okay. For example, I mean, if you're committing sins, let's say, of uncharity against somebody, you can pray for that person regularly. I got a penance of praying for somebody every day and giving thanks for that person. And it was a person that was driving me crazy that I had said very uncharitable things about. And you know what? That was a wise penance from that priest. But thanking God for that guy made me think about what was really good in him. And by the end of the 2 weeks, I kind of liked the guy. This guy I couldn't stand. So my point is, sometimes a priest can give you a penance that's very creative and it's medicinal. And other times you do that assigned penance, but you add to it. Now, I just want to say, you mentioned, you know, maybe some sins that were where there was attachment. Okay. I come from a family where there was addiction and where there is recovery that has gone on in the past. It's still going on. And I'll just say that oftentimes it is really important and salutary to get involved in a recovery program if you have a problem. For example, a lot of guys are dealing and struggling with pornography. It's just a crazy epidemic in our society, and our society, it fosters it. Our media fosters it. It's really hard to avoid it. So if you have an issue that you think that is compulsive, it's really helpful to get into a support group with accountability and a sponsor like NA, Narcotics Anonymous, or SA, people struggling with sex. Alcoholics Anonymous is the original. But I'm just saying this because it's really important, and a good confessor could pick up on this and advise it. And if it's not happening, it didn't happen with my own parents who had addiction problems. They didn't get that kind of help in the confessional. Fortunately, they got it outside. So I'm just saying that confession isn't the remedy for everything alone. If you have there may be a problem where you need therapy or you need a support group in addition to the sacrament of penance to get over a recurring sin in your life.
Joshua, I do want to come back to you. Satisfying, helpful answer. Do you need a follow-up?
No, I think that actually answers my question very well. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Joshua, thank you for starting us off with such a great call. It does seem to me that one of the things we Catholics will end up saying at some point in our life is, I keep confessing the same sin over and over again.
Yes.
And so I guess there's just a point at which we think, like Joshua was saying, God must be tired of this. He must have had enough of me coming back.
Can I share a St. Thomas Aquinas response to
yes,
that?
Please.
Particularly people who have, are struggling with sins of the flesh. He said, well, a lot of times God allows lesser sins to prevail in your life to protect you from a bigger sin, like pride. So in other words, our falling into certain sins is allowed by God because our pride is so much that if he were to take those away, we'd get big heads. So basically, Thomas is saying, if you want to really get help from God from some of your lesser sins, deal with your pride. And I think that's a really amazing kind
that
of
is.
Answer from
yeah.
Thomas Aquinas. So, humble yourself before the Lord, and in due time, he'll exalt you, as it says in Scripture, That's one of the things. You can just examine yourself in your examination of conscience. I think actually it's good to talk about examination of conscience, Si. I don't know if anyone's going to have a question on it, but it'd be good to talk about that.
I'll tell you what we'll do. I'm going to let Ryan on because he's been waiting, and then we'll do the break, and then I'm going to ask you about, because I think a lot of people would know, well, how would I even find an examination? Well, what do I do? So we'll give the practicals of that. But I don't want to keep you waiting. Ryan in St. Louis, Missouri, thank you for the call. You got a question about confession?
Thank you. Yes, but first I have to say how incredible Triumph of the Heart is. My wife and I watched it. We've been telling all of our friends, Catholic and Protestant, about it. And St. Maximilian Kolbe is actually a patron saint that I chose during OCIA.
What a beautiful thing, Ryan. Thank you for saying that.
That is awesome.
Well, the movie was awesome, and St. Maximilian Kolbe is awesome. Anyway, with regards to receiving the Eucharist after confession, if one is made aware after confession that they have committed a mortal sin and they don't have the opportunity to confess again before the Eucharist, is one still able to receive it, or are they still in a state, not in a state of grace? And again, if receive, or do you need to make sure you get to a priest to confess that sin? And again, is it a mortal sin if you don't know that it is a mortal sin and you committed it unknowingly? Hope that makes sense.
There's a lot in there, and it's all good questions, okay? They're really great questions. Let me just say something about mortal sin, first and foremost. Mortal sin is grave matters. In other words, it's a serious offense against God or a serious omission of a serious duty that causes serious damage, right? But it has to be done knowingly for it to be truly mortal. So I would just say that knowledge and consent of the will, you know this is a mortal sin before you do it, or before you fail to in your duty, and you do it anyway. Okay, you proceed in freedom. That is necessary for it to be truly a mortal sin. Okay, so that's important. And the second question is, when it comes to committing a mortal sin, when you and your conscience know that you've committed a mortal sin or strongly suspect it, you're required to go to confession at your earliest opportunity. Why? Because it's serious illness. It's kind of like, it's not a cold. You know, it's a life-threatening condition. So you go to confession. Holy Mother Church says, get your body to the doctor's office. You go and experience God's healing in the sacrament. Now, what happens if for some reason there's a moral or physical impossibility of getting to confession, but you can go to Mass over a long period of time? Okay, so can you make a act of perfect contrition that would allow you to go to communion? And the answer is yes. The church has never said that mortal sin can't ever be forgiven outside of confession. No. An act of perfect contrition, which means an act of contrition that includes serious reason that you're sorry is because you've hurt God, not just because you fear his punishment, but there's some love in there. An act of love where, Lord, you've done everything for me. You've given me everything. And I did this to you. I'm so sorry, Abba, my Father. That is an act of perfect contrition. So when we actually say this in the act of contrition, you know, I'm heartily sorry for having offended thee, because you deserve all my love. Yeah, I fear punishment, but you deserve all my love. Anyway, if you make an act of perfect contrition, it's possible to go back to communion without going to confession. But it only should be done when you can't get to confession. So if you could just miss confession, you probably should just sit it out, worship God, make an act of spiritual communion, and get to confession at your earliest opportunity. Okay? Does that make sense?
That does. Thank you so much. And again, thank you for the incredible film, and God bless you.
You're welcome.
Ryan, thank you. I'll tell you what, I'll let people know, triumphoftheheart.com to find out more about the film. Marcelino, Dr. D'Ambrosio was executive producer on the film. It was made in Poland by his son, and who we got to do an interview with, and I was just so impressed with his take on the whole thing. And so many people, just like our Ryan who just called, so many people deeply affected by the movie. So if you haven't seen Triumph of the Heart, do go to triumphoftheheart.com. And if you can help them get it into prisons and recovery groups and seminaries, and they'd like to get this movie out. Because Colby's story, just think about what Colby would mean to people in recovery or to priests preparing or to prisoners. He himself, a prisoner who died in prison. Help get the movie out to people by going to triumphoftheheart.com. Is there a mitigation of mortal sin for it being habitual? Like you know, you can think of habitual sexual sin, but also things like you know, alcohol use or gambling, or there's things where people have built up a habit and they're trying. But and what should they do about going to confession?
Well, I think they should go to confession. And as I said earlier, I think they need to join a support group. I'm an absolutely firm believer that most people in most circumstances really need, you know, a, a 12-step support group who have an addictive problem.
Yeah.
But the answer, when it gets down to sin and the judgment of mortal sin, when someone's freedom is impaired, and that this is significantly impaired, early on, I personally have in my family people who drank socially, but heavily and too much. And yeah. Those are free choices, but that turned into an addiction.
Yeah.
That primed the pump. I have other people in my family who were alcoholics from the first drink. They picked up a drink. It was in the genes. There's a whole family of them in my family. That is how oftentimes a confessor helps you to make that judgment. And I would just say a lot of times when you can't really discern these things about culpability and the seriousness of sin, that's part of what a priest confessor helps you to do.
Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio, our guest, lots of folks still in the line, but there's two lines open if you have a question about confession. Whether you're Catholic or not, whether you know a lot about confession or very little, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884.
Want to be a more powerful witness for Christ? One of the most powerful evangelization tools you can acquire is, in fact, courtesy. The apostolate of courtesy is just the message the church needs in this time of diminished social grace. Inspired by St. Francis de Sales, author Robert Grieving shows how everyday manners, whether in conversation or emails, can make us powerful witnesses for Christ. Get the apostolate of courtesy today at shop.catholic.com.
Why do Catholics pray to dead people, bow to statues, venerate relics? And where do we find any of this stuff in the Bible? In the delightful book, The Saints Pray for You, Dr. Carla Broussard convincingly defends the ancient Christian belief rooted in Scripture that the saints care for us, that they're our allies. Order your copy of The Saints Pray for You today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Your favorite Catholic Answers books are now available on Audible. Whether you're commuting, taking a nice walk, or relaxing at home, you can deepen your faith with audiobooks that will make a real difference in your life, no matter where life takes you. Listen to trusted Catholic Answers authors explain the faith clearly, answer important questions, and help you grow in confidence as a Catholic. Visit audible.com today, search for Catholic Answers, and let the learning begin.
Feeling stuck? Feeling like you are not sure what's next? Well, you can be sure of this. God is not finished with you yet. In his new book, Not Finished Yet, Dr. Marcus Peters shares a powerful message of hope, healing, and transformation in Jesus Christ. Read it to discover how to overcome struggles, embrace grace, and step into the life God is calling you to. Get Not Finished Yet today. Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. One of the things we know that we get, I mean, those of us who grew up Catholic, you get the education from I got it from the sisters. God bless them. I love those sisters who taught us to make our confessions. They did a really good job. And they taught you how to do an examination of conscience. But you were saying, Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio, our guest, you were saying, why not finish the day with an examination of conscience? Could this be part of our whole embrace of the confessional side of our Catholic faith?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, Pope Francis said he used one examination of conscience. He used Matthew 25, the Last Judgment seat. I was hungry, and you didn't give me food, and I was thirsty, and you didn't give me drink. It's fascinating. That's the only scene that Jesus gives us of the Last Judgment. And people are condemned not for sins of commission in that circumstance, in that passage. They're condemned for sins of omission, for not doing something they were bound to do. And that actually is pretty challenging for all of us, I would say, don't you?
I mean, I was getting scared. Honestly, I was thinking, oh man, that's tough. As you were saying it.
It is.
Convicting.
honestly, whether you do it before you go to bed or whether you're getting ready for and do a more extensive examination of conscience, I do it with my journal. Like I sometimes write stuff down in my journal before confession. Maybe you don't have a journal, but writing helps. You know, it helps you get your thoughts out, believe it or not. You know, it's not just a record of your thoughts. While you're writing, more things come. So it's actually good, at least when you're going to go to confession, if you do it, let's say, once a month, which is a very good spiritual practice, I think, you know, to spend a little time and write out your examination of conscience. But first, ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, show me. You know, you're my advocate. You're the defense attorney. Show me where my case with God is weak right now. You know, where
that's
I really need to
just think
press
about it.
Up.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I need to ask for mercy. Show me where I'm blowing it. And some scripture passages really help, like Matthew 25. Another is 1 Corinthians 13. Try this. It says, love is, and all these great things, right? Put your own name in there. Marcellino is patient and kind. Oops, I'm busted on the first word. Patient. I was impatient with her. I was impatient with him. You know, so in other words, it actually is a very good examination of conscience. Another one is just the two great commandments that Jesus said sum up the whole law. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and your neighbor as yourself. Okay. I repeat those passages before I go to bed a lot. And that really is another sin of omission. You know, do I love the Lord with my whole heart? Where was I half-hearted today?
Yes.
You know, where did I not put someone else first and love them as much as I love myself? So anyway, those are just some good possible examinations of conscience, besides, of course, the Ten Commandments.
So supposed to do for me if I do this every night? What's supposed to happen?
We can't do all these passages every night, but you could do one passage and look over just that day, and just say, Lord, I blew it here. Sorry. Please forgive me. And I thank you. I would just say, I think an examination of the day also should include some thanks, don't you?
Lord,
thank you for taking care of me. Thank you for giving this to me today, for feeding me and clothing me.
Yeah.
And thank you for my
for all the oxygen in the atmosphere. Thank you for that. I really appreciate
it. Thank you for people's patience, especially my wife's patience with me.
Right.
You know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's a daily thing. I think that the use of these scriptures are really good for that examination before confession, a little bit more. And it's part of the beautiful thing about confession. If you go to confession once a month or whatever, you look over your life. And so many of us live just distracted, rapid-paced, unexamined lives, right?
Right.
An unexamined life is not worth living. That's a quote from a philosopher. Well, it helps us to examine our lives and to do it against Scripture, with Scripture is helping us, this like a mirror, helping us see ourselves a little bit. So anyway, examination of conscience is great, even if you're not going to confession. It's just a great practice in your life.
Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio, our guest, every line full now. So back to the phones we go. Let's start in Texas this time. Dan is down there in Hockley, Texas. We're very glad you're here, Dan. Go ahead with your question for Dr. D'Ambrosio.
Yes, thank you. I'm a Baptist. I'll start with that, I guess. But I see the value of the confessional, and I've attended enough masses with my son to get a pretty good understanding of that. But I guess, first of all, would I, as a Baptist, be allowed to go into the confessional and speak with a priest? And if I do that, what should I be considering beforehand, and what should I say, or how should I present myself to the priest at that point?
Yeah, that is a great question, Dan. First of all, my brother in Christ, thank you for listening in. Thank you for the question. Let me just say this. Interestingly enough, the sacrament of penance is normally for people who are in full communion with the Catholic Church or coming into full communion with the Catholic Church. That's the normal use of the sacrament. People actually who are Protestant and not yet Catholic, who are getting ready to be Catholic, go to confession first before they come into full communion. So just get that out on the table. You have to be baptized for sure to receive the sacrament of penance. It's like a refreshment of your baptism, a deepening of your baptism. So let me say that. I would just say, if you go into the confessional, you're certainly welcome to go into the confessional. You should let the priest know your situation, that you're Baptist, and let him know, you know, what you want in your life. He may not give you absolution, but he may counsel you and pray with you. And so I would really encourage you to consider doing that. Let me just say, I have a friend who is now a Protestant Christian, but he has his kids in Catholic school, and he actually comes from Muslim background. He thinks the sacrament of penance is the greatest thing that the Catholic Church has. And I've really not asked him how often, if he's gone, but I know he's sought counsel from a priest, and he thinks it's an incredible gift. So let me just leave it at that. It'd be between you and the priest whether or not the priest gives you absolution. But I would just say that it's certainly salutary to go in and to pray together with the priest, to share your sins to the degree that you can and wish to, and to get his counsel.
Okay, Dan.
That sounds great.
Well, it's a beautiful call, Dan. Thank you very much for calling us. I hope you'll call again sometime.
Thank you very much. I certainly will.
All right, thank you.
Have a great day.
You too.
God bless, brother.
Just tell me what line I'm going to. I'm sorry, I'm completely lost right now. Somebody tell me a line. Line two. All right, I'm going to line two. Irene, I got lost. It happens sometimes in Bellevue, Nebraska. I'm glad you're here, Irene. Go ahead with your question.
When I go to confession and confess my sin, God forgives that sin. And I was told in my youth that he forgets that sin, and it's as if you never committed it. I listen to EWTN every day, but now I come across with the understanding that I'm going to have to go to purgatory before I can go to heaven because of some sin I might have committed in my youth. I don't understand. It's really making me doubt my religion.
Oh, okay, Irene. I'm very glad you called.
I'm glad you called too, Irene, because I want to just tell you something. The Catholic Church teaches that if we don't really undergo purification and we don't really do penance for our sins, in this life, or if we haven't confessed and haven't repented of venial sin, that after death, we may have to go through a period of purification that we know as purgatory. The Catholic Church doesn't teach that everybody goes to purgatory. And as a matter of fact, the Catholic Church gives every opportunity to get rid of sin in our life, to do penance, to repair the harm that we've done, and it helps us. You've probably heard of indulgences, and that's really where the church says, okay, do penance, and we know all penance is imperfect. So here's what we'll do. We'll allocate from the merits of Christ and the saints support for you so you're not doing penance alone. And so a plenary indulgence is actually when the church says, okay, you've done these very powerful and beautiful things to help atone for and repair the harm done by your sin in you and in others. And because you've done this, all the other debt of sin is taken care of through the merits of Christ and the saints. And that's a beautiful gift that is actually readily available. I gain plenary indulgences, and I offer them for the souls in purgatory several times a week. And you can do that for yourself. You can offer it for someone who needs it, who's died. And it's a beautiful thing. And so I encourage you to learn about indulgences, particularly about a plenary indulgence, and gain those. It's just beautiful support. In other words, basically what I'm trying to say here is there's absolutely no reason for people to fear purgatory. You should be getting rid of sin in your life and availing yourself of the helps that the church has. And don't worry about it. God will take care of you, basically. That's what I want to say about purgatory and the fear of purgatory.
Okay? Does that help you, Irene?
Not really.
What's the problem?
I have another problem, though. I'm in charge of a small group of women, and I should be evangelizing because a lot of them are fallen away Catholics. And instead of evangelizing, I'm putting forth this question, and a question like, God knows everything. Why did he create angels if he knew one was going to fall? I'm finding out I have so many doubts now. I'm in my 80s. I should be getting closer to God, and it seems like I'm getting further away.
Well, let me just say this, Irene. It's not uncommon that your faith can be attacked even late in life. And I would see this as a temptation rather than seeing, oh, gee, I'm losing my faith or I'm weak in faith. No, I'm really getting harassed at this point in my life. And I need to draw in to get closer to the Lord rather than distance myself from him because of these doubts. I need to move closer to him. And so I would encourage you to lean into the Lord, to pray, to spend some more time with him. But, you know, I just want you to know that it's not uncommon to be harassed with such kinds of doubts. Okay. It's happened to a lot of people, including, saints have encountered these kinds of things late in life, encountered these kinds of challenges to their faith. Okay.
Okay. That does put me there. My heart at ease a little bit more. Thank you.
Well, Irene,
you're welcome.
I'd like to send you two books if you want them. One of them is called The Words of Eternal Life, True Happiness, and Where to Find It. It's just a little description, really, of the Catholic faith that I find very inspiring. And then Secrets from Heaven. It's on the parables and sayings of Jesus, a beautiful book. I'd also invite you, Irene, because I'm not going to forget you. Call back anytime. As there are questions, we have people here that can answer them. So we'd be happy to take your call anytime to get you the answer that might be bothering you on a particular day. If you'd like the books, just hang on, give us an address there in Nebraska, and we'll send it over to you. We got to take a very quick break. Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio is our guest. We're talking confessions, still quite a few folks on the line, so we'll get right back to the phones after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, this is Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione of San Francisco. Keep your dial tuned to Catholic Answers Live.
Alexian Brothers is a proud sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. For 800 years, these Catholic brothers have offered a prophetic and daring response to the gospel. Serving Christ in the sick, the poor, and the dying. Is God calling you to be a courageous disciple? If you feel called to total self-giving as a religious brother in the mission of Jesus, call our vocations office at 847-264-8703. That's 847-264-8703. AlexianBrothers.org.
In Morse code, the sequence SOS is a distress call. It's been said that it stands for Save Our Souls. Well, right now our world is in big trouble, and we're putting out an SOS call for help. Will you answer that call? St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, has hundreds of teams who share the good news with souls who don't know Jesus. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. Visit streetevangelization.com to get involved.
Hi, this is Father Mike Schmitz. I invite you to listen to Bible in a Year and Catechism in a Year here on EWTN Radio. On Catechism in a Year, you'll encounter God's plan of sheer goodness for us. Throughout the year, we read through the Catechism of the Catholic Church with direct quotes, plus time for explanations and reflections. I hope you can join us every day or as often as you can.
Bible in a Year and Catechism in a Year with Father Mike Schmitz. Tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio, our guest. Some people are not as talented as I am. They can't get Marcellino D'Ambrosio to roll off the tongue like it does for me. So they call him Dr. Idley. They go, I know, you're impressed with my...
I am so impressed.
I know, for an Irish guy. For two Irish grandfathers, I can do Marcellino D'Ambrosio okay. Like... Dr. Idley.com is where if you say, hey, I want to go with Marcellino on pilgrimage, tell us where you're going. What kind of pilgrimages have you got coming up?
Okay, I'm just going to say, pilgrimage to the Holy Land, believe it or not, is safe. And it's safe now, and I'm going in October, and we have spots available. But what's amazing going and after a time of strife is that no one thinks it's safe. And so it's relatively empty, and you have the run of the place. So we are going to have, this past October, I took a small group. We were given the opportunity, a rare privilege, Mass in the Holy Sepulchre at the tomb of Jesus. Oh, and I'm talking about the altar being the slab where Jesus' body is laid, and all of us are there in the antechamber, you know, huddled together. It was incredible. And we have that this time, too, in October. So we have, like, an amazing opportunity this October and in April to go to the Holy Land. I encourage, if you've never been, do it. And then in Italy, I love Italy. It's a second Holy Land, you know? I mean,
yeah, you're right.
You know, Mary and Joseph weren't born there, but they got their house there as fast as they could. You know, the Holy House of Loreto? Peter got there as fast as he could.
They moved the house to Loreto. They had the angels
there
for
him.
Yes, right.
That's right. So, but really, we're going to be visiting, walking in the footsteps of St. Augustine and St. Ambrose and Anthony of Padua and St. John the 23rd. John Bosco. So anyway, we have an amazing Northern Italy pilgrimage with a passion play performed under the stars in a little town at the foot of the Alps in Northern Italy.
Oh, come
That's
on.
Going to be in June. It's going to be in June.
Oh,
yeah.
Go.
Yeah.
Go to DrItaly.com. Find out all about it. Go to Dr. Italy. Plus, you get this great company. It's really good company, Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio. Take one of these pilgrimages. I can't believe that about the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, the spot on the earth where our salvation was accomplished, and you're standing basically right there having Mass. Come on. That's
amazing. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Ground zero, man.
Ground zero. Yep. Yes, for salvation. Amy in Traverse City, Michigan. We're awful glad you're here, Amy. You got a question about confession?
Hi. Yes, I do. I have a sweet little 7-year-old grandson he's very, very faith-filled, goes to Catholic school. He's entering the second grade. And I said, oh, my goodness, aren't you so excited about going to second grade? You get to make your first Holy Communion and first penance. And he said, well, what's that, first penance? I don't know what that one is. And so I explained and just made it very simple. And I said, it's when you get to go talk to your priest and tell him your sins. And then he forgives you through Christ. And you feel so happy, and your soul is clean, and on. I just made it so fun sounding, you know, and happy for him. And he even went to adoration with me, which he loves. And he saw someone coming out of the confessional, and I noticed she had such a big smile on her face. I said, "See, it's true. You feel so good." And he just got terrified and started to cry. I said, oh, there's nothing you could have done that could, you know, surprise your priest or God. And he goes, oh, yes. And then I said, well, do you want to tell me? And then he's sobbing. He says, well, one time when I was like maybe 2 or 3 years old, I hit my mom and I was really, really mean to her.
Oh.
And so he won't let it go. And this was about a month ago, and he's been back in school for 2 weeks now. And every morning he gets up and he's just so full of anxiety. He says, I don't want to do it. I'm not going to do it. So, but it's more just, I think he's just terrified of hurting God, I don't understand, but I don't also know what to say to him to console him. And I'm sure that they have not, you know, started their chapters, you know, in religion class on penance.
Yeah.
That's yet to come. But
what might you say to them?
What do we say?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? The reason that we don't have first penance until you're 7 is you really can't commit a sin until you are at the age of reason. What you do at 2 years old is not a sin, and he doesn't have to confess it. So that should help a little bit. He needs to realize that he was a baby who didn't have free will and control over himself when he hit his mother. It's amazing traumatic memory for him. And maybe you can help him with that memory, but maybe that's one of the ways you can help him with it, is to let him realize that he wasn't really responsible for his behavior at age two.
Oh,
I don't know if that helps you, but it...
That's wonderful. Yeah, I don't know why I didn't think of it sooner myself, but
yeah.
I just said, well, are you sad? Are you sorry that you did that? And he goes, oh, I'm never going to forgive myself.
Oh, the poor guy.
And I said, oh, I know. And he's very, very sensitive. And, you know, but I said, well, you don't even, or I said, you know, you did something that, that doesn't make God happy and you're sorry for it. So, you know, I'm sure that you have been forgiven, but that's even better that he wasn't even old enough to realize.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you know, it also, if he hasn't spoken to his mom about it, that could be a really healing thing for his mom to know he's upset about it. And then for him to tell her and her to smile at him and say that she forgives him, not to worry about it, that would be a very healing thing for him, I think, if it hasn't happened already.
Amy, I'm going to leave it there and say thank you for the call, because we do want to get to at least one more caller before we have to go. Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio, our guest. We're talking confession this hour. Robert, also in Texas, welcome. Go ahead with your question.
Sure. So for a little bit of background, I'm a Protestant who's been looking into Catholicism recently.
Okay.
And one of the things that's been interesting to me is Vatican II and how the Catholic Church relates to other churches.
Okay.
There's a part in Vatican II that says that Catholics must consider Protestant liturgies as capable of giving access to the mystical community of salvation. I think I have the phrasing right there, or at least mostly right. But I also understand that Catholics teach that only an ordained Catholic priest can administer the sacrament of penance, and that Protestants do not have valid orders. So can Protestant confession absolve sins?
Yeah, that's a really good question. First of all, I'm so glad that you're on the call. I'm glad we're talking about this. I want to point out that the teaching of the Catholic Church is that those of Christians who believe in Jesus, have faith, hope, and love, they're invisibly united to the Catholic Church, to the only church that is, the body of Christ. And visibly, they're incorporated into the church imperfectly through valid baptism. So that baptism that's administered in the name of the three divine persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that's performed in a Protestant church, incorporates a person into the Church of Jesus Christ, the one true church, which we think comes to full, and we teach, comes to fullness and visibility in this world in the Catholic Church. So what's happening in Protestant communities is God's grace is not bottled up inside the sacraments alone. The sacraments are guaranteed vehicles of transmission of his grace, but the Lord's grace works outside the sacraments as well. In my mind, a Protestant minister who prays with someone for forgiveness, he can't really confer absolution, sacramental absolution, but it can really, really help a person. This goes to Catholic laymen and a Catholic deacon as well. It can help someone to really express contrition out of love for God and sorrow. And that contrition out of love for God, what we call perfect contrition, it's not just a fear of punishment. It's not just servile fear. It's a love of the Lord and repentance because we love him. That remits sin. So you can't really convey sacramental absolution, but you can help someone have the kind of contrition that leads to remission of sin and leads to healing. So I would, you know, I would say that would be my answer to it. From a Catholic theological point of view, Vatican II and the whole Catholic tradition, really.
What do you think, Robert?
That's interesting. And I think it makes sense. I'm going to need some time to think on it.
All right. Well,
these
go on YouTube immediately. So if you want to rewind it, just you can just watch it on YouTube and go through it again if you'd like. Also, if you'd like, you said I think the way you said it was you have an interest in Catholicism. We have a thing called the Big Book of Catholic Answers. Just answers 300 different questions. About 300. I'm not exactly sure how many, but about 300. I can't even keep track of who's on which phone line. So I don't know how many these questions are in there, but it's a lot, and we'd love you to have it. All you got to do is hang on, give Edgar your address. He will get it to the right people, and we'll get the book to you there in Texas. Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio, thank you so much. I just love it when you're here.
Sorry, I love it too. Thank you for inviting me. Keep calling.
Oh, we'll keep calling then. Don't forget, if you want to go on pilgrimage with Dr. Italy, Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio, you want to look at the pilgrimages, just go have a look over at DrItaly.com, DrItaly.com. And don't forget, he's the executive producer of Triumph of the Heart, a magnificent movie about Maximilian Kolbe. If you don't know about Maximilian Kolbe, it'll be your introduction to him. If you know about Maximilian Kolbe, it will be a beautiful celebration of him. You'll be happy you watched it. TriumphOfTheHeart.com. Right back, we're going to talk about the Mass with Tom Nash on Catholic Answers Live.